Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the New Mainstream Podcast, where we explore the impact of multicultural consumers on marketing and media. I'm your host, Mario Carrasco, and the co-founder of Think Now. Today, our guest is Nidia Serrano, Audience Marketing Director at Pandora. Nidia, great to have you on. Please introduce yourself. Tell us more about your background and your current role at Pandora.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Again, my name is Nidia. I am the Audience Marketing Director here at Pandora, responsible for making sure that the platform, as well as our advertisers, are speaking to the new emerging segments, as well as the broad and large multicultural segment with cultural relevance. Some of the things that I do is work very closely with our research department to uncover any insights that may have an impact on how we as a platform perform, in addition to how advertisers should be speaking to our audience on the platform. So some of the things that we've done is dive a little bit deeper as it relates to African Americans, as it relates to Hispanics. So we've come out with a few studies that kind of take a look at some of the musical trends on Pandora, as well as how those trends connect with consumer behavior.
That's great. And we were talking right before the podcast about how your previous role was in multicultural. And I feel like this move for you in itself shows how dedicated Pandora is to multicultural. Can you tell us a little bit about how your background in multicultural marketing is informing now kind of your role in the broader audience marketing?
Absolutely. We saw that as we dove into the behaviors of our multicultural audience, we saw that for every consumer, there's another story. There's a larger picture that we should be paying attention to. So instead of just dedicating myself 100% to MC, we felt it was important for us to look at other areas in the multicultural, in the consumer market space that may need some attention. So for instance, we know that teens are a very important part of the fabric of popular culture in the US. So we are uncovering deeper insights as to what really impacts that population, especially since that population is going to become, I think this is the first year where that population under 18 is mostly multicultural. So it all connects, right? You know, at one point I was just multicultural, but understanding how that audience is kind of taking over what the mainstream is, it's good to expand to see how that behavior comes to life in other segments.
And I'm curious, Pandora's done some great research and insights. And I'm curious, I mean, music being one of the cornerstones of culture, right, in terms of what we listen to growing up and how that evolves over time. I'm curious, in your role, how have you seen multicultural or new mainstream affect non-multicultural listening habits? Are we seeing kind of the multicultural music trends affecting the quote unquote mainstream, or any insights that you've seen there?
Yeah, we see it all the time on our platform. When we look at our top 10, whether it is top spins or top stations that are created on Pandora, we see that a lot of those trends are driven by our multicultural consumers. In fact, we are able to dissect what are Black, what are Hispanic, and what our overall listener base is listening to. And when we look at that, we see that a lot of what's trending is driven by the other two segments. So to give you an example, when we look at our Pandora Top Spins chart from last week, you'll see artists like Roddy Ricch or Future or Kane Brown. And those are artists that are, one, they're multicultural. They're either African-American or they are actually multiracial. And the music that they're becoming popular with, it's music that is very representative of this new mainstream population. For example, Roddy Ricch, he is a 21-year-old rapper from Compton, California. And Future is also a rapper, as well as a record producer who is from Atlanta, but who has been nominated for multiple awards. So we see that while these audience and while these artists are being have very broad and widespread acceptance in the mainstream culture, they still have a strong connection to their communities where they're from.
Definitely. And I'm thinking about Pandora. I mean, you have just such a great platform that is constantly connecting with you on a deeper basis, right? Based on the music that you listen to. And of course, there's advertisements there that Pandora's done a good job of kind of integrating seamlessly throughout the experience. What are some of the tips? Because we have lots of marketers, lots of brands that listen to our podcast. What are some tips that you've given some of your clients in terms of creating culturally, you know, culturally resonant advertising? Because I think it's important in any platform, television, print, online. But I think when it comes to music, it's even more important because it's such a personal experience. So I'm just curious, you know, what are some kind of general tips that you give your advertisers in terms of when they're thinking about creating advertisements for the Pandora platform? I mean, what are some tips that you give them to be culturally resonant or culturally relevant with the audience?
Yeah, some of the tips that we give our our brands and advertisers is to follow the same approach that we follow in terms of addressing these segments, that being very personalized with your messaging. Because we're on a one-to-one platform and therefore have a one-to-one connection with our listener, we're really able to hone into those traits that are very unique and personal to that user, so that way you're able to establish a much stronger connection. So one of the tips that we offer is to not generalize whatever audience you're trying to reach. So if you're trying to reach a Black audience, for instance, staying away from stereotypical portrayals, not really having a traditional look into how to speak to that audience, and really being innovative in the way that you speak to them. So staying true to the trends that are happening in the space, making sure that there is a relevant connection to some of the trends that are happening at that moment. We also advise our advertisers to really showcase them in the ads. And I think that, you know, it's kind of general, but you'll be surprised as to how many ads reach this audience and they're not even included in the communication. So making sure that you have relevant voice talent, that you are being authentic in the way that you speak, that you are being inclusive, not just of Black audiences, but also other audiences, right? Because we are not all living in a silo. We live in a multicultural kind of world. So being integrated into larger stories is also really important.
For sure. And you were talking about that one-to-one. And I know, you know, Pandora's able to create that one-on-one with data. And I'm a data nerd. We also have, in addition to marketers, lots of data nerds and marketers that are data nerds that listen to the podcast. So, of course, without giving the secret sauce, I mean, what are some of the data that Pandora has access to give to marketers to be able to tailor that message? I would just love to hear kind of what, in addition to the type of research that you do, what kind of analytics are driving some of the insights there at Pandora?
Yeah, we have... We, of course, have registration data, which we get when people are signing up onto the service. So we have everything from age, gender, zip code, and email addresses. And in addition to that, what we do is that we survey our audience on a regular basis. So we ask those general, you know, ethnicity and race questions. And then we stay in very close to our audience as they behave on the platform. So, for instance, if I, as a Latina, you know, I... in a survey say that I'm a Latina, then our talented team studies the behaviors of a person like myself and creates an algorithm that reflects those behaviors to find other people who look like me on the platform. So with that in mind, we look at those behaviors, we classify that audience in terms of affinity to being Hispanic or Latinx. And then we, once we create those segments, we once again go back and validate that audience just to make sure that they are in fact of that race and ethnicity.
That's cool. That's just some amazing data. And I think that points to kind of to where the future of data is, or even the now, right? Because there was such a big push for big data, passive tracking, which Pandora has so much of, right? I mean, all of our listening habits, but to hear that you're surveying as well, and following up and understanding your audience, I think it shows like the importance of not only big data or passive data, but also combining that with survey data, right? Because you, when you have both of that connected, you just have such a more robust view of your consumer.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we look at that data, not just as data, but understanding that those data points are actual people. They're actual humans with specific behaviors. So when an advertiser looks at them as humans, we then are able to connect, you know, with moments that really matter to them, as opposed to just driving advertising as general based on a specific data point.
For sure, for sure. And I mean, speaking of data points or people insights, I mean, can you share with us some, like, one of your favorite data points that you've uncovered? I mean, I think that's pretty cool. You're talking about what the top charts were last week, like future. Kind of a more general, what's some interesting high level data that you've encountered this year?
Yeah, I've been at Pandora for about almost 4 years, and I've seen some really fascinating data points. The one that has caught my attention the most is how Black consumers, for instance, who we actually label the arbiters of cool on our platform, they are able to discover artists such as Future 3 to 4 months in advance before they blow up with the general population. So we've seen a lot of examples from Megan Thee Stallion, Future, SZA, Migos, a number of artists who, you know, were really popular with our Black listeners. And then it wasn't until 3 to 4 months later that they became number one, number two with our total listeners.
That's so cool. That's so cool, because you see a lot of surveys out there kind of hinting at that, right? And talking about that. But the fact that you can see it, actual people streaming it, and then see them, you know, blow up a couple months later, that's awesome. Go ahead.
I was going to add that, yeah, that definitely stands out. And I think that that's why we see these artists becoming so popular with mainstream. And the fact that the digital space is able to identify and really see what's happening at a smaller scale, and then seeing it being reflected in a larger scale, is what has impacted the music business that we see today. You know, you see these artists being so popular with everyone. But what we are able to see beyond that is that smaller picture. So while, you know, the Futures of the world and Drake's, like, they're, you know, popular with all audiences, we're also able to kind of like look at this audience under the microscope and see what's happening, what's brewing that everyone else is not caught on to yet. So one example, for instance, is how while the mainstream is kind of capturing a lot of the trends that are happening within Black and Latinx communities, there are other trends happening in these communities that we need to pay attention to, because they're eventually going to become mainstream. And for any platform that wants to still stay relevant, or any organization that wants to stay relevant, it is really important that they pay attention to what's happening there.
And data like that, I imagine, would be really valuable for brands, right, that want to align themselves, not necessarily with the most popular now, but align themselves to those that are going to be coming up in 3 to 4 months. Do you share that data with advertisers, or are they using that data? And if so, like, how open have they been to, like, looking at this, like, trending data, for example?
We have certain targeting segments that we can tap into, so that an advertiser is reaching that consumer that is setting trends. So for instance, we have a segment called the Urban Music Enthusiast segment, which in the past we called the Urban Influencer. And that allows an advertiser to really hone into that small percentage of the population who is uncovering new trends and is is revealing them to everyone else. But other than that, we do have a lot of data available from a trans perspective, utilizing a platform we have called Next Big Sound that allows you to see an artist once that artist is kind of coming out of, you know, or entering the mainstream or just emerging. So that way, when we create programs, an advertiser is able to tap into somebody that may blow up in the next, you know, in the next few months, and be able to take advantage of that from a pricing and an economic standpoint.
Very cool. And kind of going back to the multicultural listeners on your platform, do you see, trying to think of how to word this, I mean, do you see still a lot of education needed from your end to advertisers about connecting with this consumer? Or, I mean, you've been there 4 years. Have you seen an evolution in terms of brands, company being more open to advertising to multicultural consumers? Or is it not even a thing anymore? Are brands and companies just like, yeah, we want to target multicultural consumers? Mm-hmm. I'm just curious from your perspective how receptive brands have been to reaching multicultural listeners.
I wish they, you know, we didn't have to fight the good fight anymore. I've been in the business for over 13, 14 years. The reality is that we have to continue educating. You know, a lot of advertisers feel like they don't have all the knowledge at their fingertips to activate against this audience effectively. Others just don't see the value, even when you prove it, of targeting these audiences. And others may just not have the proper teams in place to teams that may feel more comfortable with addressing this audience. So there's the element of, you know, I don't have all the resources available, you know, within my organization to make sure that I'm messaging this audience correctly. While the other side of it is there are other organizations and brands that may feel that their brand is not there yet in terms of quantifying the opportunity for their business.
And so if someone's listening that is in a role where they want to reach the multicultural consumer, but maybe they don't have the right team in place, but they have the desire to, I mean, what are some first steps you can take? Because I think a lot of the times, to your point, companies, you know, fall prey to just throwing their hands up because they feel it's too big of a thing to tackle. I mean, on a high level, what would you say to that marketer? Like, what are some first steps you can take to try to reach the multicultural audience?
Yeah, I think that it all starts with having the right people in place. And I don't necessarily just mean hiring multicultural experts. I think that's really important. But empowering every team within your organization to be fluent in multicultural, whether it is product development or research or media and creative, there needs to be some sort of expectation from those teams to understand the implications of the multicultural audience in those departments. So we went through an era where we had dedicated multicultural teams that are at different brands. And also we went through a phase a few years back where those teams were eliminated in place of CEOs, kind of like experts or COEs in that particular topic. But then now we're at a place where those experts or teams no longer exist. So how do we kind of go back? I don't think a lot of brands want to go back to having entire teams focused on this demographic. And if that's the case, I think that everyone needs to be responsible for knowing and understanding those segments if that's a part of, you know, their job. So I think it starts with that, setting the right parameters and expectations, making sure that briefs have those outlined for people to address. Another way too is for every person or every brand person to become more informed and lean on people like, you know, like Think Now or Pandora, you know, experts outside of their organization that may help them get there. We have access to so many tools and we have access to so much data that we are here to, you know, be a resource for any brand that needs help in getting you know, getting there in terms of MC.
Yeah, I love that advice because you're right. You know, companies like Pandora, you're all publishing on a regular basis great insights about multicultural and mainstream. So love reading your stuff. So thanks again, and believe it or not, that's reaching the end of the podcast here. I really appreciate your insights. Super interesting how you're using data, and I love that you're all are combining that analytics and that survey data. If people want to connect with you on social media, what are the best platforms to reach you at, Nydia?
Yeah, I'm definitely very active on LinkedIn. So you can find me at Nydia Serrano on LinkedIn. You search for my name. It's not very popular on the platform. I'm also very active on Twitter, and you can find me through every social media platform. But of course, you can send me an email at Pandora, which is, you know, I'm always available.
Awesome. Thanks again for joining us, Nydia.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks to everyone listening in. To get more multicultural insights, check us out at thinknow.com and follow us on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform.